You know, a lot of people think because they pray, they recited some prayer many, many years ago. And I know that there's many genuine conversions when that happens. But I also know the difference between just reciting words and when there's a heartfelt, you know what I'm talking about. It's that conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's that releasing of yourself, laying down your way and saying, God, you are the way, the truth. You are the life. You are what I need in my life. You are the answer to everything that I have been going through life looking for. And there's repentance and there's an attempt. Okay, there's at least an attempt. I know lots of people that all they want to do is just have a get out of jail free card. Friend, if that's your mentality, there's something wrong. And what the Lord spoke to me last Wednesday in my office, and I shared this with the prayer group, but the day of nominal Christian living is over. You cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. It's time to get all in, friends. Because if you're living this way, you're not going to be able to stand. Because I'm going to tell you, there is going to be an assault that comes upon the church. The devil's hosts are raging, but the battle belongs to the Lord. You see, we have to have ourselves anchored in the kingdom of God. Because it's only there that you and I will be able to stand. And I'm telling you, there is a day coming where it's already not popular. But there is an onslaught of all kinds of things coming against the church. Things being taken away, all this stuff. What are you going to do? Who are you going to be if all you're being is a chameleon? You know what a chameleon does? They change colors based upon their environment. As long as I'm hanging out with Rodney, man, boy, I'm just, oh, praise Jesus, good night, oh, yeah, all right, you know, we're just all glory, oh, you know, all that. But then I go over here with my buddies at work, and I'm dropping F-bombs, and I'm just going right along with the crowd, and I'm doing everything but being a representative for Jesus. Am I saying dropping an F-bomb is going to send you to the pit? No, but what I'm saying to you is, who are you going to be? We need to reflect Jesus. Now, Jesus went and he was with people and he hung out with sinners and did all that, but he went with a purpose. He didn't go so he could just join in and indulge. Why on earth would I ever want to go back to what Jesus delivered me from? Why would I ever want to just sit? And I'm very challenged by this because I love to hang out and with my wife and I like to sit down and watch a movie and, you know, do those type of, we love that. That's what we do. And I'm not coming down on anybody for watching TV. But sometimes I sit there and I wonder, man, I'm entertaining myself with the very things that Jesus went to the cross for. Is this really helping me in my life? I'm challenging myself with these questions now, friends. I mean, please know, I'm not saying this in a condemning way whatsoever, but I'm asking you, in your own relationship with Jesus, ask the hard questions. Look in the mirror. Just say, God, is there anything in me that would bring, you know, disgrace to you, Lord? Is there anything in me where I'm just still hanging on to who I once was? Friends, it's time to let go. It's time to cut the anchors and cut the ties to the shore and let Jesus have your life once and for all. I know people that have been in the church for 20, 30, 40 years and they still have anchors in their past. It's time to cut the lines and go for God wholly and completely. It's the only thing that's worth it. Money is never going to provide the answer to you. You can chase after it all you want. You can chase after position. You can chase after title. You can chase after having the best house and all these other things. But I'm going to tell you, when it all comes down to it, and you're at the end of your life, the only thing that's going to matter to you is if you're in a right standing with God. And I'm going to tell you, His mercy is abundant. His grace is abundant. His love is abundant. And He loves you so much that He went to the cross and He died for you. It's burning in my heart. And I'm not going to let off the gas pedal with that, friends, because we have got to be an accurate reflection of Jesus to the world around us. That world has seen far, far too long the church being powerless, the church being ineffective, and the church taking up a legalistic stance on every issue, and we condemn those who are already standing condemned rather than reaching out to them with the love of Jesus. You know, if you really think about it, the Bible says that judgment starts in the house of God. But some of us need to quit being Holy Spirit and start being representatives, start being ambassadors for the King of Kings and showing people the love. Because last week we looked at what? We looked at those unruly shepherd types. Those unruly shepherd types were those people, they were the outcasts of society. They were the ones that nobody wanted to hang with. They were the ones that had all kinds of things happen to them. And they made bad choices with their life. They were of no good reputation whatsoever. They were considered to be ceremonially unclean. But yet when the announcement came in Luke chapter 2 verse 10, what did we see? We saw that the announcement came not to the temple, not to the people who were the high and mighties and the uppity ups and the Pharisees and all the religious folks and all that. The announcement of the King of Kings, the very King of the world that was going to set us free, the announcement of the Messiah came to the unruly types. It came to those shepherds who were out in their fields that nobody wanted, the insecure ones, the ones that couldn't even identify with the rest of the world. They were just shoved aside and cast and kicked to the curb like we do with so many people. But that's the announcement that came. And it said that this day in the city of David, there is born to you a child, Christ the Savior. He's the Lord of all. He's the Lord of all. And he came to these shepherds, the unrulies. And he just said, he poured out his heart. The angels made the announcement. And they went to the stable and they witnessed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords right there in their midst. Can you imagine what that did to them? They're probably like, whoa, what was that all about? But when they saw Jesus in the manger, they fell to their knees and they worshiped. And they worshiped. And they said, God, just like that man who Jesus described, beat his chest and said, have mercy on me, a sinner. Friends, I don't care how good you think you are. Your good is never good enough. It's only through the precious blood of Jesus that we're saved. It's only through the work of the cross. And this season of Christmas has been hijacked by the world. And I know that it's been commercialized. And I know that it's been made to be about everything except for Jesus. But I'm going to tell you today that Jesus is still the reason for our season. And I put it on the sign this week. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. He is the greatest gift of all. We can have all kinds of gifts in this life. And isn't it neat when you see the kiddos come up on Christmas morning, or some of you might open them on Christmas Eve night, whatever. But the bottom line is they come down and they're just full of elation. They're full of, you know, and then they play with the toy for about 30 minutes and then they shove it aside and play with a box, you know. But there's joy, there's elation, there's just that festiveness that comes with this season. But friend, the greatest gift that any of us could ever receive this Christmas is the gift of Jesus. And even if you've been a believer here for years and years and years, the greatest gift that you can give back to Him is more and more of your life. If you want more of God in your life, then give up more of yourself to Him. If you want Jesus to be more anchored in your life, if you want to have a stronger anointing of God upon your life, then yield more and more of yourself to the Lord. Friends, I am not satisfied where I'm at. I'm not. I want more of God. And I get down on my knees and I pray, Lord, show me things I just need to give up. And I struggle sometimes just letting go. But it's a daily walk. Paul said, I crucify my flesh daily, each and every day, because your flesh is going to greet you every morning. Your flesh is always going to want to do the opposite of what the Spirit of God wants you to do. The Spirit of God wants you to surrender. The Spirit of God wants you to be an evangelist. The Spirit of God wants you to be a pastor. The Spirit of God wants you to be a teacher. He wants you to serve. He wants you to live radically for Him. He wants you to live passionately for Him. That's what the Spirit of God, there's no question. You don't even have to debate that. That's what God wants and desires for all of our lives. But yet we hang on to some of the most meaningless things in this life. Don't we all like our comforts? I like my comforts. I like comforts. I don't like to go without. I like to have a bed that I lay my head down on at night. I love all that stuff. I like to sit down and have my 50-inch TV and, you know, and do all that stuff. I love that. High def. What do they got now? I don't know. It's something else. You know, 3D, whatever, you know. I love all that. But at the same point in time, it's meaningless in comparison. Thank you, Jesus. The announcement came and it was for those shepherds. But there's another group of people that I want us to just take a moment and look at today. And it's the wise men. It's the visit of the Magi. In Matthew 2, for sake of time, you can read through it on your own. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Thank you, Jesus. And it talks about these three individuals. Now, in all honesty, there may have been more kings, but the tradition says it's three because there were three gifts presented to Jesus, okay? But all of them who came, okay? We know, as we looked last week, that Jesus came for all, okay? He came for all people. He came for the whosoevers. He came for the shepherds and the unrulies, okay? But he also came for the elite. He came for those of great wealth. He came for those that have influence. He came for leadership. He came for people who were noble. So it was the noblest of the noble, and it was the least of the least. He came for everybody. Because everybody who comes to him, friends, you need to understand this, will bow. It's just whether you bow here on this side of eternity or there. And I want to encourage you to bow here. Because the Bible tells us that he's been given the name that's above every other name in heaven and on earth and under the earth. It's above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. And it's important that we make that decision here because you're not going to get a second chance there. But every knee, the vilest of the vile, will bow their knee and they will confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. There's no other way to get into heaven. There's only one name by which a man should be saved, and that's Jesus Christ. The Bible says that there's one mediator between God and man, and it's Christ Jesus. You don't come through a pastor. You don't go through a priest. You don't go through any of those other avenues. You go directly through Jesus, and he is the only doorway to get to heaven. And that might sound very rigid in the day and age that we live in, but that's the truth of the Word of God. And we cannot compromise the Word of God. In the sake of trying to reach people, we have compromised the Word. We have become seeker-friendly. And I'm going to tell you, there's a problem with that message. I'm not trying to say that we just need to alienate people and not do things to try to reach people and use different methods. But we cannot compromise the Word of God. He paid too high a price for us. And these wise men, though we don't know much about them, they were visitors from the East. Okay? If you ever see the Nativity story, the movie, anybody seen that? Just two of you. Okay? Three, four, five. Okay. It's a great movie. There's some things in it that, you know, they're probably not completely accurate because the wise men didn't show up at the stable. I hate to blow that for you, but they didn't show up at the stable. He was at probably more like 2 years old when he came to the house. And you can read through the scriptures and you can see that. But the bottom line is these were well-educated people. They were probably from the lineage of Daniel. They were more than likely well-studied in the Hebrew prophecies. They knew the prophecy that there was going to be a king that was going to come through Bethlehem. Micah, I believe it's chapter 5, verse 2, right in there. It's in chapter 5. But most scholars will agree that these were men of high position. They were men of wealth, and they were men of resources. They were men of influence, educated. The bottom line, these cats weren't shepherds, were they? These guys had everything that really life had available to them at the time. But here's the thing. They had a heart that realized there was something more. And God supernaturally invaded their lives. And I just loved it. These guys, think about it. They were used to being catered to. They had a whole entourage with them that took care of all of their needs. But as they studied, they saw that there was a great king that was going to come forth. See, the pride of life could have very easily entangled them. Their pride could have gotten in the way and kept them from receiving the gift of Jesus. We cannot come to the Lord on our own terms. And that's what it speaks to us, friends. James 4:6 says this, God resists. In other words, he opposes. He's against those who have a proud heart. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humility is not based on your position in life. It's based upon the attitude of your heart. God gives grace to the humble. We cannot come to the Lord on our own teams. The Bible says that whosoever believes, and I've mentioned this to you before, that word believes doesn't mean I'm just tipping my hat to God. I've said my little prayer and I'm on my way and there's no change in my life. That word believes means that I take my life as it is and I throw it over onto the cross where Jesus paid the greatest price for me and I now live for him. It's entrusting my life with everything that he did for me. And the Bible also says in Romans 10 that all who call upon the Lord shall be saved. Everybody say all. All. All who call upon the Lord shall be saved. It's not dependent upon our social class or our status in life or how much money you have in your bank account. And I love it when we have a full bank account, don't you? I don't know, maybe you never experienced it. I really haven't. How much is enough? I don't know. But I know it's great, even as a kid, when you go to the cookie jar and there's cookies in it. I hated it when you looked in there and there was nothing in it. Anyway, that's just a whatever. They were willing to devote and risk everything. These three wise men, their positions, their titles, all of this, their political stance, they put it all on the line and they committed time and resources and people. They put their reputation on the line. Somebody needs to hear that today. You need to put your reputation in God's hands. You've been worried about what people are going to think if you really get radical and become one of them. You know what? The enemy's just lying in your ear. You can just tell him to stuff it, all right? And just listen to the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that's biblically correct, but you know, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Just tell the enemy to shut up. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. You know what? God has, he can do great things, but you need to put your reputation in God's hands. You got to put it in God's hands. They put their places of position on the line. They put everything on hold. Why? Because deep in their hearts, they knew that there was something more. There was something greater than just themselves to live for. They had all the wealth. They had everything the world had to offer, yet there was something inside of them that said, there has got to be more. And friends, I'm sorry, but there are times even in our churches that we come to the place and we say, there has got to be more. And I'm in that place. We have never arrived, friends. We don't just check out. We keep pressing on. I've said this before, and you've heard it before. You don't retire, you refire. That's what God wants. He wants some fire breathers again. Amen? And I believe that it's going to start with young people. I believe we're going to have a resurgence in that. But I also believe that there's some fire breathers in this older generation that need to be resurrected again. Thank you, Lord. Deep in our hearts, do we cry out, God, we want more. We want more, Lord. We want more of your presence. We long for more of you, Jesus. Because I'm telling you, if this is it, friends, come on. There's more. I love the presence of the Lord when he comes. I've experienced deep movings of the Holy Spirit in my life. My son, I know that's one of the reasons that he stayed with Jesus all the way through. He had just a momentary time of backsliding. But I'm going to tell you what, the reason that he stayed is because he had deep encounters. He had deep wells. He had deep waters that he ran into. And he came face to face with the creator of his life. And he stayed. And he never deviated. And I'm going to tell you one of the proudest things that I could say, and he wouldn't mind me saying this, but the bottom line is this. When he stood up there and I married them 2 weeks ago, I knew that I was marrying a man who was completely devoted to his wife. He saved himself for his wife. That's unheard of this day and age. And I'm going to tell you, whether you have or haven't, God can restore, and you can commit from this day forward that you're going to stay pure until the day that you're married.
Amen.
I want to just say that to somebody here today. God loves you, and He will strengthen you, and He will give you what you need to make it through. Amen. The strength that is in Him is far greater than anything you and I can muster up, friends. The wise men gave it all up. They bowed down and they worshiped Him. In verse 11 of that chapter, you will see that. And so often, the stories that we hear about these wise men, they focus on the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But to me, what is so incredible is that they laid down their nobility. They laid down the fact that they were these great men of influence, and all of a sudden, it didn't matter anymore. It was like David in the moment when they brought the presence of the Lord back into the temple. And David took off his kingly robe. He had a linen ephod on, and he became as a common person. And it didn't matter. He said, I'll become even more undignified than this. And that's the same heart that gripped these three wise men. They laid down their nobility when they saw the humble beginnings of this little baby in a manger. And they knelt down and they worshiped Him. And it wasn't until they knelt down and worshiped Him and gave Him their heart that they actually gave Him their treasure. But here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me when I was preparing this. There was a great exchange that took place. You see, these men had everything that they wanted in life. They had treasure, okay? They had gold, they had frankincense, they had myrrh, they had resources and wealth and people, and they were catered to and all of that. But all of a sudden, in that moment, when they came face to face with Jesus as a little baby, they realized that the treasures that they possessed paled in comparison to the treasure that laid before them. And what ended up happening was that there was a great exchange, because the Word of God tells us that your heart will always follow what you treasure. Your heart follows your treasure. Their hearts were full of the treasures of this world, but there was something more. There was something that they needed more. And when they came to the baby, it says that they got down before Him. They laid down their nobility, and they began to worship at the feet of this little baby in a manger. And they picked up a new treasure for their lives, because they saw that there was true treasure right in front of them. They knew that money wasn't going to do it. They knew that all the beautiful spices and all the frankincense and the myrrh and all these things were not going to provide only what Jesus could provide to them. And they knew that in that moment, that they needed to pick up a new treasure, because their hearts all of a sudden became connected to the King, the true King. And where your heart goes, you see, you got to lay down your other treasures. They picked up their true treasure and their heart followed. Friends, go ahead and turn that on, Justin, if you would. You can bring it down just a little bit. You know, I think that the Lord is really wanting to do something with us. I do. We embraced some new members today. And it's beautiful. I love it when that happens. There's commitment to vision. But friends, and again, it's not my vision, it's God's vision. That's what we want. But I think some of us have got to come to a place where we're willing to make the same exchange that these wise men made. We have to come to a place where we say to ourselves, what do I really treasure? As I was studying this. Man, just gripped my heart. These guys had everything. But yet, they didn't have true treasure. See, we can be saved. We can be in the church. We can be doing our routine and going through many of the motions that are good. But we haven't fully embraced the treasure that's available to us because we keep hanging on. Why are we hanging on? Isn't it time to just let go and pick up the true treasure for our lives? Friend, it doesn't matter where we find ourselves. You all have different areas of influence. You have all different areas of life that you walk in. I don't know everything you walk through every day. I don't know the pain that's all in your heart. I know some of your stories. But I'm going to tell you, the treasure of heaven knows everything about you. The treasure of heaven knows all the things you've done. And he said, you're worth it. He knows the things that you've said, and he knows the things that you've done to hurt people, but yet he said, I love him. I love her. My son, my daughter. So what I want to encourage you with this Christmas that we have left, these several weeks, I want to encourage you to pick up the true treasure. I want to encourage you to pick up the greatest gift of all. Whether you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never made him Lord and Savior of your life, or whether you're here today and you've been in the church for a long time, but you know deep down in your heart, you haven't fully laid down your earthly treasures, and you want to pick up heaven's treasure. I want to encourage you to make the great exchange. You will never, ever, ever go away empty. He loves you like nobody can love you. He knows you like nobody can know you. He knows the way you think. He's acquainted with all of your ways, is what the Bible says. He knows the predicaments that you found yourself in. He knows the bargain prayers that you made with him. Oh, if you get me out of this, Lord. And yet, that none of that matters to him. When he forgives you, the Bible teaches us that your sins are as far as the east is from the west. I can't understand that, but his grace is beyond my understanding.